Well, as I've already said, it is a joy to be with you here in Carrickfergus this morning. And we're going to turn to the Word of God as it's found in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1. John chapter 15, and from the first verse. Our Lord Jesus is speaking, and he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious and infallible truth. Let's just bow again in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the riches of your word. We want to praise you for that word that is written and settled in heaven. The word of God that so often rebukes us and challenges us. So often it comforts us and blesses us. Your word is a living word, and we pray even now that by your Spirit you may take your word and plant it firmly into the hearts and lives of your own people. We do remember any in our service who are not saved, who know nothing of the wonder of God's so great salvation. We pray that in mercy you will draw near to them even this day and bring them into the wonderful family of God. For we ask all of these things, giving you thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. You saw some names up there. I didn't know the praise band was going to do that. It was so a lot of names of the Savior in one of the slides they put up there. And we were singing of some of the names of our Lord Jesus. But in Scripture, we have so many terms that express the relationship between Christ and his church, or Christ and his own people. We say that he is our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is our king, our bridegroom. He's our Savior. He's our great high priest. He is our advocate. He is our peace. He is our wisdom, our sanctification. He is our righteousness. He is our redeemer. And we could go on and on. Christian, if I were to ask you, what title or what name or how would you describe your relationship to Christ, which one of these would you use? Would you say, oh, he's my king, or he's my Savior? And if you try and bring it into one particular name, we realize that one description is not enough. We need all of these descriptions because the Word of God gives us all of these descriptions because the believer's relationship to his master is deep. It's very complex. It's profound. That we are in a living relationship with the great God of glory through the mediator, his Son, and our wonderful Savior. But this morning I just want to take one word to describe Christ's relationship with us and our relationship with him. Jesus Christ. You say these things, but think about it. Jesus Christ is our friend. Wow. Jesus Christ, the Lord of all glory, to every believer, is their personal friend. He turns to his disciples in that passage that we read, and he says to his disciples, "You are my friends. I have called you friends." It's absolutely mind-boggling that the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, can go from seat to seat in this congregation of people and say, "She's my friend." And he delights to say that he's my friend, and he's my friend, and she's my friend. It's mind-blowing when you think of who he is. And yet, "I have called you friends," he says. You know, there is a thing about us that we always like to names drop when we have rubbed shoulders with somebody important or some celebrity of one kind or another. And you hear people names dropping, you know. I went to school, you know, with so-and-so, the Ulster rugby player. They weren't in the same class, but we're in the same year. And, you know, oh, wow. My sister's father and mother-in-law live beside so-and-so, the MLA. How wonderful. Or I come home on a plane and Jimmy Nesbitt, the actor, was there and he nodded over to me and I nodded back. Or what about this one? I was at a wedding and Frank Mitchell, the UTV Wellerman, was there and I got speaking to him. And you know, even a brief encounter with some even third-class celebrity, we like to say that in some small way we befriended them, even though this other person may never remember you from Adam. But this morning, we are thinking about the most important one of all, the Lord Jesus. And we are talking about not a brief encounter. We're talking about a loving, lasting, very meaningful friendship with the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, in a human plane, all of us have friends. We have different kinds of friends. We have old schoolmates. We have work colleagues. We have friends on our sports team. We have Facebook friends or whatever. And have you ever think about this? Each one of us have our own unique assembly of friends. You know, before I married my wife, she had her own friends. And even now, she has friends that I just know to see. But we every single one of us have our own set of friends. And in the midst of our friends, there are more serious relationships. We have family friends. It's good to belong to a good family. And we talk about family friends who stand with us. There's the loving bond between a husband and wife. And what is that loving bond? It's one of friendship. It's one of companionship. And so we have our serious friends as well as other kinds of friends. Alas, we don't live in a perfect world, and the best of friendships sometimes are fragmented and severed. Even husbands and wives that started off in this loving relationship and everything seems so wonderful, and further down the course of time, the marriage ends in a bitter, bitter divorce. But we're speaking about a friendship with the one who is divine, this unique friendship. Jesus Christ is the dearest friend any Christian can have. He is utter. He's not a friend in a million or a friend in a billion. He is utterly unique. There is no friend like Jesus. That just brought it into my mind there, the little hymn. It's a long time since I've heard that one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And if you're a ball of football and you like the Rangers, you'll know the tune of that one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. How true that is. The biblical truth is stated in this passage. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. 3 times in 3 verses, Jesus calls his disciples friends. And if we are truly believers, and we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are obedient to him, and we are in fellowship with him, then we have this unique friendship. As he had with his disciples of old, he has with us today. Now, I don't want to get engrossed in the deeper things of that particular passage. We want to move on. Sufficient to say, it was part of the upper room ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the shadows of Calvary are looming. The Lord's last hours before the horrors of Calvary. And he brings his disciples. Judas is now out of the equation. And he sits down with his disciples, and he speaks literally as friend to friend. You know, as Christians, we ought to enjoy, as the disciples of old, they enjoy the friendship blessings of Christ. Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them, that they walked a long life's journey with the Savior, and he said, "You're my friends." And in a wonderful way, we walk through life's journey with Jesus Christ. He's with us every step of the way, our dearest friend. There's a few things I just want to look at this morning. First of all, he is our ageless friend. I don't mean by that ancient. I mean that he is from eternity. And he has loved us from eternity. Hard to get our minds around truths like this. Whenever we think of who he is, all things were created by him and for him. We took a reading from John, the Gospel of John. If we go back into John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And when you look at that verse, it's in the beginning, and it literally means in the beginning, before there was a beginning, way back yonder in eternity, was the Word, and that's a distinct name and title of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can follow it into other of John's writings. So way back before there was a beginning, he was there. He's from all eternity. He was the Word, his own distinct title, and the Word was with God. He's with God. So he is his own distinct identity from the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And yet the Word was God. He is absolute deity. What a verse that is. And then in verse 14 of chapter 1 of John, "And the Word," the Lord Jesus Christ, "the Word became flesh." That's the incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And way back here in eternity, there was the eternal plans that Christ would come and save his people from their sins. John chapter 17, verse 24, the great prayer of the Lord Jesus. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." And friends, he loved us from before the foundation of the world. "All that the Father gives me shall come to me." And all were in the eternal plans. This friend of ours has loved us from eternity. Wow! He is our ageless friend. He had no beginning. He died for us when we were at enmity with him. He died to make us his friends. All the plans and purposes and the counsels of God from eternity are fulfilled in our redemption. Let me quote another little hymn here. Long time since I've heard this one. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which not can sever, for I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. Loved us from eternity. How do we get our minds round that? Let's move on. He's not just an ageless friend, he's our best friend. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The word brother here can mean father, mother, brother, sister. In other words, it's a friend who can be nearer to us than the closest of our family ties. He's closer to us than a mother's love. He's closer to us than our spouse's love. And every commentator worth his salt explains the verse. Unsurprisingly, he goes on to speak of Christ, the friend who sticks closer than any brother. I mentioned family friends, and it's good that many a mother and daughter, they say, she's not just my daughter, she's my best friend, and vice versa. And when the young teenage girl, her boyfriend jilts her, she comes for comfort and for help to her mother, and the mother befriends her. And that's lovely, isn't it? My mother's my friend, says the girl. And that's lovely. But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than our nearest and dearest. There are times in our lives and situations in our lives so delicate that we cannot even share it with our nearest and dearest. We cannot even share certain things with our spouses, but yet we can confide in him. Because he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother, any earthly ties we have, we're closer to him. And we can share through our tears all our cares with him. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. And in our weeping, he understands the tears and he understands the situation. And in that situation, when we bring it to our dearest friend, he can bring us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. What a dear friend we have. Closer than any tie that we have on earth. I want to go on to say he's a wise friend. We're coming up to Christmas, and no doubt from this pulpit you'll hear Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our Savior. That's some of his titles, but the Hebrew scholars tell us that his name is Wonderful and his name is Counselor, but they feel it should be hyphenated. That Jesus Christ is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the fount of all knowledge. Along life's journey, sometimes we need guidance. It's nice to go among a circle of friends that we can confide in and seek their help. It's good at times to go to the pastor and seek for his help. And maybe other times we need to pay to go and get expert help, a solicitor or a doctor. If you have long enough to wait in the doctor, come and see me in 3 months' time, you know. But listen, at times we need special help and guidance along life. But in Colossians chapter 2, we read concerning our friend, the Lord Jesus. Paul writes, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches a full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Listen carefully. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. We can cast all our care upon him. And listen, we also read in Colossians, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ, who is God, the fount of all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we can go to him. And we can be led of him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Very well-known verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Go to your friend. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Boys, many times in life I've wondered, how do I take the next step? Where am I going? What am I going to do? But you come to him. You pray to him, and you read from his word, and he speaks to you. Unsaved people can't understand, how did the Lord speak to you? Well, we know as believers how he speaks to us in so many different ways. Sometimes we need to bring the big issues of life towards him. The student going out into university, and Lord, here's my life. What direction do you want me to take? What do you want me to become? Lord, lead me. What way do you go? Open doors, close doors, but lead me. Young man wants to see who he'll marry or whatever. The young married couple want to know where they're going to have to live with this new job and what church they'll put their roots down in. Some big important things. We need to seek the guidance of God. Sometimes even in the lesser things of life, Lord, I want to understand your word more. What book or what character do you want me to study in my own personal devotion? No matter what it is, we can bring it to him. Now, you don't get paranoid. You don't have to ask the Lord about things that are silly. You know, Lord, should I use a 6-iron or a 7-iron to get onto the green? You know, no. But listen, we can say things to him. And actually, the ESV says, he makes your paths straight. And he smooths them out. The obstacles, the blockages that are on our way. If we come to him, the wise friend that we have, well, he can order our steps and he can make straight your paths. And whenever we start to, as that verse says, lean on our own understanding, we're bound to go wrong. But we need to lean on his understanding and follow him in every way. Anne, my wife, is a much better driver than me, which is a terrible passenger. Oh, she's a brilliant driver. But when it comes to me driving and she's sitting beside me, watch that lorry. This is 40 miles an hour. Change gear. Watch that pavement. Anne, would you sit there? I'm doing the driving. Let me drive. Listen, as Christians, we seek the Lord and we follow him, for he's wise in his counsel. He's the wonderful counselor. Here's another thing. He's a constant friend. He's there every time you need him, 24/7. A friend in need is a friend indeed, is a lovely saying. But sometimes a friend in need is a pest, if truth be told. You just snuggle into bed, it's a winter's night, and your friend, looking help, says, can you come and help me? Right, what's wrong? My car's broken down, I need a tow. Where are you? I'm at the far side of Ballyclare. Oh dear, friend in need is a pest. But any time you come to the Lord, you come to him, and he's ever the same. There's no inappropriate time. Proverbs 17 and 17, a friend loves at all times, even though we fail him over and over and over again. When we call upon him, he's there. Never too busy. He's always the same. I remember having a science teacher And boy, he was a good teacher on a good day. That didn't happen very often. On a bad day, he was in a bad mood. It was awful. He always kept the class a wee bit late, and he always had to stand outside the classroom, and the other class came out, and you whispered to him, going by, is he in a good mood or a bad mood? For if he was in a bad mood, you know you were in for a rough ride. But whenever we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry if he's in a good mood or a bad mood, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our constant friend. I love that whenever the Lord is risen, and all the disciples had left him and so forth, but Peter had denied his Lord with oaths and curses. The risen Christ says, go tell my disciples. That was wonderful in itself. Go tell my disciples, those who let me down at the end. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter, who needed that comfort more than any of them. Always a constant friend. In my days in the city mission, we had a city missionary, a lovely old man. And on the staff meetings on a Friday morning, he would often pray this prayer, and I've never forgotten it. Lord, there's no problem too big, and there's no problem too small that we can't bring to you. No matter how big the problem, no matter how small, cast your care on him. He's our constant friend. Our moods fluctuate. Times we feel more spiritual than others, but he's ever the same. Here's another one. He's a powerful friend. I mentioned earlier about people names dropping. Listen, I don't care if you're buddies with the Queen or the Prime Minister or the new President of the United States, whatever one of the two is going to be. I don't care who your friend is. I have a friend seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That it's the highest elevation. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and he's my friend. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation of our sins. We have an advocate. An advocate is my counselor, my representative, my defense in a court of law. But we're not in a court of law. We're standing before the great judge, and he is our Father through Christ. And we have an advocate with the Father. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father, one who made propitiation for our sins. He has satisfied the wrath of God. He has taken it away. And he's our advocate with the Father. He is a powerful friend. Friend in high places, there's nothing higher than the right hand of the Majesty on high. I have two more for you. I'll be brief with this next one. He is a faithful friend. It's good to have a friend who is faithful. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Better read that again. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Some of us of my vintage can remember the old advert in television, only a friend can tell you that you've got B.O. For you young people, that's body odor. The advert, I think it was for soap or whatever it was. But it only takes a friend to tell you something like that. You know, we read in Scripture in Mark chapter 16 how the risen Lord rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And how in Mark chapter 8, we're bringing poor Peter into it again, he turned around and looked at his disciples and he rebuked Peter. Yes, he's not just a lovey-dovey friend. I mean, times he has to face us and through his word and through the way he leads us, he challenges us. At times, our faithful friend might even have to apply the chastening rod when we are out of step. He's faithful. He's not just lovey-dovey, but he tells us the truth about ourselves. Then lastly, I don't know whether you've been counting or not, but seven's the perfect number. If I had told you I was preaching a seven, seven headings in your sermon to run out, but this is the seventh, okay. Perfect. Perfect friend, you see. He is an everlasting friend. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. The scholars tell us that there's a double negative here. And it actually, literally, the double negative takes on another negative, and this is how it should sound. I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. What a promise. He'll never leave you. Friend, if you have to go in for surgery, and it's serious stuff, and your pastor comes up to see you, and he prays with you, reminds you of the prayers of God's people for you. What a comfort. But your pastor can't go into the theater with you. He's there in the afternoon, he comes home. The evening, you've just got your family near you. And one by one, a few tears are shed, and they leave the ward. You're left maybe with your spouse just for a little minute. And he has to leave you. And you feel all alone. But your friend is with you. I will never leave you. When you're wheeled that next morning down to the theater, the Lord is at your elbow. Well, one of the men in Newton Ards, I love the way he prays sometimes. He says, Lord, you're nearer to us than our hands and feet. Your friend is with you. He will never leave you. Whatever the circumstances, he's with you. And he'll never forsake you. Because in Calvary's cross, he bore our sin and our punishment. He bore the wrath of God. He was forsaken of God. That we might never be forsaken. He says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in glory we will see our friend highly exalted. And we will praise him for all eternity. And I don't think we'll ever understand what he saw in the likes of us and why he ever delights to call us his friends. But that's the truth of God's word. Sinner friend, you need this friend because he's the only Savior. And you need to trust him. And life without Christ is meaningless, utterly meaningless. Christ is the meaning of life. He that has the Son has life. You're only existing. You need this wonderful Lord in your life. So there it is, seven things. He is our ageless friend. From eternity he loved us. He is our best friend. He is our wise friend, our counselor. He is our constant friend, no matter what situation we're in. He is our powerful friend, seated at the right hand of the Majesty. He is our faithful friend, who tells us when we go wrong and rebukes us. He is our everlasting friend. There's only one hymn you could sing after that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Written by a man from Banbridge. How lovely is that? May we sing meaningfully this wonderful hymn together.